Let's look together this morning at 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's really good to be here with Group A this morning. Seems like it's been so long since I've seen many of you. It's a blessing to be able to worship with you today. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's read the first 12 verses, and then I want to go back and make a few comments along the way from this passage of Scripture. Verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I thought such a blessing that Kevin chose to sing that special that he sang this morning. We didn't coordinate with one another. I believe the Lord laid it upon his heart to sing that song's right in alignment, isn't it, with this passage of Scripture here. Notice here in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul was now at the end of his life, but he never forgot that he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ only by the grace of God, by the will of God. It was God's mercy and grace that called him and put him into the ministry. You remember, he had been known as Saul of Tarsus. And as Saul of Tarsus, he was doing everything that he possibly could to stamp out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he was out putting people in prison who confessed that the Lord Jesus had not only died upon the cross, but had come forth victorious out of the grave. He was doing everything he could to stamp out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, knocked him off his horse. He called him there, right outside of Damascus, and he changed Saul of Tarsus to the Apostle Paul. And the Lord told Ananias, he said, he is a chosen vessel unto me. What a choice. Here's Paul, Saul of Tarsus, out there trying to kill Christians. And the Lord told Ananias, he is a chosen vessel unto me. to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And Paul never, and God help us, he never got over the grace of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That was Paul's testimony. That song had not been written yet. But I'm sure he sang some variation of it. He never got over the fact that it was God's mercy and grace and will that called him and put him into the ministry. He said, I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And friends, believers, we can all say the same thing this morning as the apostle. That it's only by the will of God and by the grace of God. If we make any attempt in this world to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve him, it's only by the will of God and by the grace of God. And we give him all the praise and glory. Now notice going on here in verse 1. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. This is really just a different way of saying according to the gospel. According to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. The word gospel, you all know, it means good news, doesn't it? Good message, happy message, gospel. And truly, there is no better news, there's no better message for any child of Adam, for any of us, than the truth that God has promised life in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no, what news could be greater? What news could be happier? What could be a better message than that? That God has promised everlasting life, eternal life in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's pledged eternal life for all who are in his Son, Jesus Christ. There could be no better news, could there? We all see our life just like a fog, don't we? That comes up in the morning, we wake up and there's fog outside, and by noon it's burned off. It's fleeting, isn't it? It goes away, and that's how our life is. Even if we live a long life, it's very short. But the gospel comes to us through the grace of God and tells us that God has pledged, he has promised eternal life in his Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is the promise of life in Christ Jesus. That is the gospel. The promise of life in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the way to life, and he's the only way that we may have everlasting life. You remember Martha, her brother Lazarus had died, and the Lord Jesus came to Bethany where they lived. And the Lord Jesus said to Martha, your brother, Lazarus, he's going to rise again. And you remember what Martha said. She said, I know that Lazarus shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? That's the question to us this morning. Do we believe the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we believe him? I like the translation of the NIV on this verse. Listen to how it reads in the NIV. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What a gospel. See, he speaks of two resurrections there, doesn't he? He speaks of the new birth, the resurrection, when God comes to us in mercy and grace, dead in trespasses and sins, no interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, and no love or interest in God, enemies of God. And he comes to us, and by the Holy Spirit, he gives us life, new life. He raises us from the dead. And at that moment, he gives us eternal life. Eternal life for the believer, that's not something we're going to get sometime in the future. That's something that we have today. Everlasting life, that's the message of the gospel. The Lord Jesus gives us everlasting life. But he also, there's another resurrection coming, isn't there? That's the one Martha said, I know that Lazarus, my brother, he's going to rise again at the last day. That is true. And the Lord Jesus, when he comes again with the shout of the archangel, he's going to raise up all his people. He's going to resurrect us in our bodies to eternal life. Believest thou this? If you believe that this morning, praise God. Because it's only revealed. It's not revealed by flesh and blood. It's only revealed by God through his Spirit. The Word of God teaches that before God ever created the world and mankind, in eternity, he promised to himself. Who else could he promise to? Nothing else had been created. God promised to himself that some, that many, would have eternal life. That's what we read in Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. What a gospel. That's the gospel Paul was called to be an apostle of and to preach. God's promises to sinful men and women, God's promises to us, are only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says, the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. This promise of life isn't found anywhere else. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. But all his promises to sinners are found in his Son. The promise to be forgiven of all our sins and offenses, that's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise to not only be forgiven, but to be justified, to be made just as if we had never sinned. That's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ, to have eternal, everlasting life. And listen, we're not talking about just existence. All men and women have an eternal existence. The soul of all shall never die. We're talking about everlasting life. Not everlasting existence. We're talking about righteous life. We're talking about being made like the Lord Jesus Christ. And being in the presence of God and actually being able to enjoy him. To be able to love him. And worship him. Because we're made like him. That's what an everlasting life, eternal life, being raised like the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist, I think, put it so well. He said, thou wilt show me the path of life. Has God shown you the path of life? That path of life is the Lord Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Don't you desire fullness of joy? I don't know about you. I don't have fullness of joy in this life. I do know about you. None of us have fullness of joy in this life. But in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What a gospel. This promise of life is in Christ Jesus. It's in Him. You may be thinking, well, I really like what you're saying. I really like what you're saying this morning. I want that everlasting life. But is it for me? Can that be for me? I who am such a sinner. I who day after day sin against God. I who fail God day after day after day. Can this promise be for me? Remember what Peter told those who had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm talking about the ones who had cried out, "Crucify Him." Do you remember what Peter preached to them? He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord shall call." Amen. That's the question. Is this message for you? Is God calling you? As you hear the gospel this morning and you hear of the Lord Jesus Christ, is God calling you? Is there something in your heart that says, that I may have Him, the Lord Jesus, that I may be found in Him? That's God's call. Is He calling you? If He is, this gospel's for you. Yes, you have failed. Yes, I have failed. Yes, we are sinners. But is God calling us? The gospel is for sinners. Who else would need the gospel but sinners? So I've taken way, way too much time on verse 1. So I'm definitely going to have to pick up my pace here. But it's hard to, you don't want to rush through that. A promise of life. Promise of everlasting life. Notice verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we can desire no greater blessing for anyone than the blessing that Paul has for Timothy here. That is grace. We need grace, don't we? Unmerited favor. Grace to help us in our time of need. We need God's mercy. His mercy. Brother Streeter said, we are a needy people. We need God's mercy. Mercy to forgive us our sins. Mercy to help us through this life. Our lot in life for all mankind. Anyone that lives on this world long enough is troubled. We will all suffer trouble, trials, tribulations, and we need God's mercy. His mercy to keep His arm around us, to comfort and strengthen us. Thank God for His mercy. And peace. Oh, what a blessing to know that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That God is not angry with us. That the thrice holy God can look upon us, believers, and say that He's well pleased in us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. And peace with one another. What a blessing to have peace with one another. I do know about you, believer. God's people are peacemakers. And it grieves us to see all the strife, doesn't it? It grieves the heart of a believer to see all the trouble and all the strife. And we need the grace and mercy and peace of God in this time. May God be merciful to us and to our nation and to our families and to our friends and to our enemies. May God be merciful to us. Now notice verse 3 through 8. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Timothy, if God should call upon you to suffer for the preaching of the gospel, bear those afflictions in the power of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. For God has not given you the spirit of fear. That word fear means of timidity. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That is, of miraculous power and might, and of love. Love to God. Love for the gospel. Love for sinners who need to hear the gospel. And of a sound mind. You know, that verse, a lot of people, you know, the Lord speaks to us different ways, different times from the scripture. But here, this sound mind really means of self-control. Of a sound mind, of self-control. That's what it literally is, the translation here. Now notice verse 9. I want to make sure that I don't run out of time before we get to these last few verses. Who hath saved us? Who has saved us? It's God who has saved us. It's He who's delivered us from the state of spiritual death. Do you have an interest this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's God that has saved you. Who has saved us? It's He who's translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You read in Colossians, Paul wrote to them, he said, giving thanks unto the Father. Why? Why should we thank the Father? Because He's made us meet. He's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption. That is, in whom we've been ransomed in full through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who has saved us? He's not talking about something in the future. He was giving thanks for something that was true in the present. Oh, that we in our hearts may give thanks this morning to our God for what's true of us today in the present, believers. We're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. God has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into His kingdom of light, into the kingdom of His dear Son. The Lord Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, of the new testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." After He arose, He said, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." That's the message I bring to you this morning, the message of forgiveness of sins, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved. And now notice the emphasis on the word us. Who has saved us? Believers, us. Who has saved us? Sinners. Lost, undone, worthy of the wrath of God. And yet He has saved us. Our salvation must be all of God, and it must be all of grace. Because it was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before we were had ever come into being, God had already saved us in eternity past when He gave us to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in time, He calls us out of darkness into His kingdom, the kingdom of His dear Son. Notice verse 9, who saved us and He called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You see, we were given unto His Son an eternal election. And therefore, in time, we are called. We're called because God, we love Him because He first loved us. We're called because He chose us and gave us to His Son in eternity before the world began, before we were ever created, before we'd done any good or evil. God chose us and gave us unto His Son. But notice, how do we know that God chose us in eternity? How do we know that God chose a people in eternity? And how can we know that? That's what verse 10 tells us here. Notice, I'll start in verse 9 because of the context. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see, how do we know that God chose a people? Because the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, became man, the God-man, because He came into this world by His appearing. Why else would He come? Why else would the eternal Son of God come into this world? Why else would He appear if it were not to save sinners, to seek and to save that which was lost? And notice what He accomplished. Who hath abolished death? Oh, yeah. The Lord Jesus Christ, by His life and death, He abolished death for us believers. That word abolish, it means to make death of no effect. To make death of no effect for the believer. He abolished death. He broke the power of death over the believer. How did He do that? By putting away our sins. You see, by taking away our sins, He abolished death. The actual translation is, He rendered death useless. Can you imagine? The Lord Jesus, for us, rendered death useless. How did He do that? The sting of death is sin. Why is death something to fear? Because we have within our conscience, we know that there is a God, and we know we've offended God. We know that we've sinned against God. And sin is the sting of death. Sin is what makes death a scary thing. But praise God, the Lord Jesus abolished death. How did He do that? On the cross, He bore our sins in His own body to the tree, and He put them away. He put our sins away. He's abolished death for us. Paul, in his discourse on the resurrection, you see the boldness of the Apostle Paul when he says, "O death," as though he challenged death, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus abolished death. Take that believer by faith this morning. Receive that message by faith. God has saved you. He's called you. And He's abolished death for you. If the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't return before it's time for us to leave this world, this body will die, but we have everlasting life. Our souls shall never die. We'll be absent from this body, but present with the Lord. And death is no more for the believer than a gate. It's a beautiful gate. The gate that opens the door for the child of God into the eternal presence of God. Uninterrupted presence of God. To be with the Lord Jesus Christ and to see Him and to love Him fully and to honor God and worship God as we should. That's what death is for the believer. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is victorious. He has the victory over death, and He won the victory for us over death. And believer, we are to take that by faith and rejoice in it this morning. That's the gospel, the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. In the close here, notice verse 11 and 12. Paul said he was appointed a preacher of this great gospel and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Yeah. Believer, do you know whom you have believed? Are you persuaded that He is able? The only thing I know for sure is that I'm not able. I do know that. But I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed. What do we commit unto Him? We commit to Him our soul. The everlasting keeping and saving of our soul. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Yeah. Sinner, have you committed your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ for saving and for keeping? If not, why not? Why not? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the promise of the gospel. That's the promise of eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless His word. Brother Bill, would you lead us in a song of dismissal, please?